Some of you need to experience that love that Jesus has for you to wash over you. Some of you are struggling on this Mother's Day, a day to celebrate, definitely. But for you, it brings up some hurt. It brings up some pain. You wish you could be a mother. And for whatever reason, God hasn't allowed that to happen in your plan, and your plan wasn't aligned with His. And we want to pray for you. We want to pray that God, that you will sense God's overwhelming love that He has for you. And so, Father, on this day, for some people, it's a day of reminding them of loss. They've lost their mother. Father, will they be overwhelmed with a sense of your power and your presence and your love, just like we sang about. And Father, for those who are wishing they could be parents, and that hasn't yet been the plan, we pray for them. We pray that that hurt, those emotions that come in, Jesus, will you overwhelm them with your love? And God, may they be satisfied knowing that there is a God over the entire universe who loves them personally, who sees their hurt and their pain. And God, I pray that you will give these couples a sense that you are in control. And I pray that their satisfaction will come in their relationship with you. Please. We pray this for them. Jesus, we love you. And thank you for being this God who loves us. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Well, if you don't know, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here. And last week, Zoe and I got to go hang out in South County and worship with that group of people. So those of you who are down there in South County, hey, let me say this. When we gave a shout out, when you guys here gave a shout out to South County, that room, that small little room erupted, all right? So I want you guys here to erupt for them because they're watching us live right now. So can you just let them know you're glad that they are watching with us? Yeah. We love you guys down there in South County. It was so good meeting some folks down there that I had never gotten to meet before. And just to see the sweet fellowship that is happening there. We're in a rented space. It's a pole barn. Can you imagine going to church in a pole barn? Well, that's what they're doing down there in South County. And it's just awesome. And we're excited to see what God is doing down there. Well, we are wrapping up our series of Soul Care this week. Today's it. For the past several weeks, we've been asking this question right here. And that is, how your soul. This is so important. And I hope, it's my prayer, that you won't stop asking this question to yourself of how your soul is. We've described the difference between self-care and soul care because there is a difference. Self-care is focused on me for the sake of me, where soul care is focused on me for the sake of God's honor and God's glory and for those around you, those that you serve. Now, moms, please hear me. Hear me on this. You do have to take time for yourself. And not just moms. I mean, moms tend to always be serving other people and thinking about everybody else. And moms, you just pour yourself out. There is nothing wrong with you taking time for yourself to fill your own soul up so that you can bring more honor and glory to God and serve others and your family or your neighbors or whoever that others is. This is important. And this is why soul care is this is so important for all of us, no matter who you are and no matter at what stage of life that you're in. Today, we're going to talk about this one word, guilt. This is a big part of soul care. Guilt plays a big part of that. Guilt will eat you up from the inside out. Guilt is like termites. Termites, you know, they get into the foundation and they eat away the wood, and before you know it, before you know what has happened, the foundation can collapse. All the damage, hundreds of thousands of dollars can be done because you don't see them working. They don't work from the outside in, they work from the inside out, and that's what guilt does. This is why it's so important. Webster, a simple definition that Webster gave is feelings of guilt is feelings of deserving blame. We're going to talk about, there's two different types of guilt. There's a healthy guilt and there's an unhealthy guilt. And when we say healthy guilt, I'm meaning there's a godly guilt. And it comes right from the Scripture. This healthy guilt or this godly guilt comes from John chapter 16 and verse number 8. And this is when Jesus said this. These are Jesus' words. And he says, and when he comes, meaning the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus says, that he will, meaning the Holy Spirit, will convict the world of its sin and God's righteousness. You see, that's a healthy guilt. It's a godly guilt that comes in us. Here's what Dr. Brennan, a physician, had to say about the positive effects of guilt. He says that usually we associate guilt with negative, but he says it does have a positive function. Oftentimes, guilt is meant to help you make a morally upright decision. So there's a healthy side to guilt, and that's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to remind us or to point out our sin. And when we do that, when we have that healthy guilt, then we need to deal with that. We bring it to God. And God doesn't do this because he's against you. He's for you, and he knows there's a better way for you and I to live. That's why the Holy Spirit also points out God's righteousness. Here's a better way for you. That's a healthy guilt. That is a godly guilt. There's a better way for you to live. So make it right with God and with others, and then live God's better way. That's the healthy side of it. Now, there's also this unhealthy guilt. And the way that we are defining unhealthy guilt is holding on to what you have already been forgiven. This is one way. Holding on to what you have already been forgiven. How many times have you heard those voices creep up in your head, reminding you of your past, and that voice is saying you shouldn't be, or you can't be, or you can't, and it goes on and on and on. I hear those voices myself. And what I have to do is I have to remind myself of the truth. And the truth is, I've already confessed that. I've already brought this before God, and he has forgiven me. So there's no reason for me to hold on to that. You see, that's the voice from the enemy. The enemy wants you to hold on to your past and let your past define who you are today. But that doesn't have to be true. You can live in freedom and without shame. And then the other way that we have unhealthy guilt is that we're feeling deserving of blame for something you shouldn't. Moms, how many times have you seen the Instagram or the Facebook post and you're like, look at that dinner, look at that spread they made, and you still have dirty dishes from breakfast in the sink, right? And it's supper time. Right, moms, how many times do you feel guilty that you don't read enough, that you don't, your house isn't clean enough, that you don't, you know, spend enough time with somebody? Those are feelings of undeserved blame. What you need to do is bring what you have, what God has gifted you with, and you bring what you have to God, and then you ask God just to help you be the best mom, the best dad, the best student, the best employee, the best employer that you can be. Don't be trying to compare yourself to other people and think, I don't measure up. That is an unhealthy guilt. And so, what we're going to learn today, right from our scripture, is that healthy or godly guilt draws us closer, not further away, to God, ourselves, and others. Why? Because again, God is for you. And he brings the Holy Spirit into our life, and he wants to draw you closer to him. And the way that we get closer to Him is to deal with those emotions and those feelings of guilt that are going on the inside. So take your Bibles. Let's go to Psalms chapter 116. Psalms chapter 116. And right out of the gate, the psalmist is writing here. And as the psalmist writes, what he does is he immediately tells us that he loves God. And it's not, and he's saying it's all capitalized in that verse, which means it's Yahweh. He's talking about God the Creator. Look, check this out in verse number 1. I love the Lord. I love the Lord Yahweh, the Creator of all of the universe, he's saying. And then he says, because he hears my voice. Now just pause and let that sink in for a moment. The God who had the sun rise this morning, the God who had the rain come down and water our yards and our gardens and our flowers so they could grow, that God who's in control of all of that, He hears my voice. He hears your voice. There are 7.8 billion people on this planet, they estimate. 7.8 billion. And your voice, listen to this, capture this, your voice is unique to God. Have you ever been in a crowd of people and you heard a voice and it's that person that has that distinguishing voice and you're like, I know that voice. I know who that is. You haven't even seen them, right? But you know that voice. And that's what God thinks about you every time that you call out and that you pray to God. He's like, I hear that voice. I know that voice. I hear you. And He hears your prayer for mercy. He hears your prayer. When you cried out for mercy, have mercy on me because I'm just a sinner. He hears your prayer for mercy. And the psalmist will go on and say, describe this imagery. I love this, the way he describes this. As he says, he, meaning God, God bends down to listen. He's bending down. Can you imagine? This is the God, the Creator of the universe. Not only does He recognize your voice out of all 7.8 billion people that are on this earth, this planet, out of all the galaxies, I mean, this is just mind-blowing that God who created those hundreds of millions of galaxies. In fact, some astrologers think that there are billions of galaxies, but we'll just play it safe and say there's hundreds of millions of galaxies. That same God who created all that, He bends down to listen to you. That's the value. This is how He's for you. He bends down to listen to you and your cry for mercy. And what else would that type of posture towards God lead us to, except for where it leads the psalmist to? Because of this, he says, I will pray as long as I have breath in me, because the God of the universe, He bends down and He listens to my cry for mercy. And you're not exempt from it. No matter your past, no matter how much the guilt has piled upon you, God hears your cry for mercy. And then, now what the psalmist will do in the rest of this, well, not in the whole chapter, but what the verses that we're going to look at, this next verse, he's going to go back to describe why he continues to bring his prayers back to God. And at one point, he felt like this in verse 3. Death wrapped its robes around me. Isn't that what guilt does? Doesn't guilt just wrap itself around you? Have you ever tried to swim in blue jeans and a hoodie? No. Why? I mean, maybe you had to jump in to save your phone or to save something, right? But you don't go swimming in jeans and a hoodie. Why? Because the weight of that can become overwhelming. It will tire you out. Michael Phelps would never jump into the Olympic pool in jeans and a hoodie. Why? It will slow you down. And if you carry guilt around with you, it will weigh you down. It will become overwhelming. And that's what he describes. The terrors of the grave overtook me. Guilt will overwhelm you. That's what guilt does. That's why we have a God who will hear your cry and hear your a cry of mercy, to have mercy on me. And He will have mercy on you. And then it will guilt will change how you see things. Here the psalmist says, I saw only trouble and sorrow. Do you know guilt works its way out in you and all in a multitude of ways? But one way is the way that you see things. And you will react. You will respond. Because if guilt is in there, the way that you react to people, the way that you perceive people will be different than if you were able to live a guilt-free life. Here's what Dr. Brennan, coming back to him again, this physician, here's what he says. He tells us that guilt's relationship with OCD, anxiety, and depression often brings a host of symptoms. Some of the physical symptoms of guilt are problems with sleep, your stomach and digestion, and muscle tension. So guilt could be at the root of some of those problems, the way that guilt works its way out in your life through these physical ways. The social and emotional symptoms of guilt are often hidden in your everyday actions. You may find justification for certain thoughts, but guilt could very well be the cause. Some of the symptoms of guilt include being sensitive to the effects of everyone else's actions, overwhelmed by the possibility of making the wrong decision, low self-esteem, putting others before yourself until it's detrimental. Is that the way that guilt is working itself out in you? Do you need just to pause before God and ask some hard questions? How is my soul? And are some of these things working itself out because I haven't dealt with some inward issues that I need to bring to God and cry out for mercy? What I want us to be able to hear next is right from a mom, one of our moms. In fact, if you were here at the very beginning of this series, we kicked this series off with a story from a lady, a mom who loves Jesus, Ellen Hutchins. And if you missed that first teaching series, I highly encourage you to go back and watch that. And you can fast forward through my teaching, but just listen to her story, because her story is very powerful and it's the healing that God can do in your life. But I want you, I had the opportunity, I had the privilege, honestly, to be able to sit here with Ellen and have this conversation to help moms. I said, Ellen, would you help moms deal with this guilt that they deal with all the time? So listen in to her words. Ellen, on behalf of the whole church family, we want to say thank you to you for kicking this whole teaching series off with sharing your story. That was really a gift to our church family, but not just to our church family, but to the many people who watched it online. I didn't go back and look at the statistics, but we had, the last time that I did, it had hit almost 1,000 views. So
that's a little scary. Yeah,
well, God is using your story, so that it really is a gift, and we're praying that God's going to continue to use it to set people free. On that note, you know, here we are, it's Mother's Day. We're coming to you to talk to you and to ask you about that, the idea of guilt and a mother's guilt, and how many times Satan uses that to keep them entrapped. Just will you just share with us about how do you deal with guilt, a mother's guilt, and parenting your kids?
I think, first of all, both Steve and I have always, when we've sinned against our children, we've always gone before them, gone to them, and asked for their forgiveness. We've admitted our wrongs, and we've asked for their forgiveness. And that in and of itself can be very freeing. It can also teach them the power of apologizing and just asking for forgiveness. But Satan can really use that that guilt. When you sin against your child, if you're harsh with them, overly harsh, or you know, you're doing the dishes, you're cleaning your house, you start to scream at the kids. We've all been there. So Satan can really use that to say, well, you're a terrible mother. You know, all these mothers on Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest, they all do it perfectly, and you're not doing it that way. So, or you come to church and you just look at these mothers with their, you know, seven children in a line, and they're all doing everything what you perceive as perfectly. I'll tell you, they're not. But Satan will use that to condemn you. And Jesus did not come to condemn us. He came to set us free. And there's freedom in forgiveness, and there's freedom in just being honest and not taking that shame on yourself and trying to hide from it.
So tell us about that, though. How did you find that freedom? And then how did it not keep you, like, oppressed?
It's very difficult. I found the freedom as I grew with the Lord. So sitting at His feet and realizing that there's nothing new under the sun, that everyone has issues and everyone is struggling with something, and by being ashamed and feeling guilty, I'm not being able to live my best life for God. I bring those things before Him on my knees in prayer and just say, Lord, you know, heal my heart and bring me from this. And I can tell you that there were many, many nights where I was just weeping before God because I felt like I had blown it. And through the years, I've just been able to talk to my children about issues that we had in our relationship. There's been a lot of forgiveness. I know that for a long time, Maggie and I had we had a lot of difficulty in our relationship with one another, to the point where I went before the Lord and I said, Lord, are you ever going to heal this relationship? I never thought that I could, that God could heal that relationship.
I think some of the moms need to hear that idea right there, that if you have a broken relationship with one of your kids, that God can bring healing and there's hope for you. That's what you have experienced and that's
yes.
What you're sharing.
Yes, there's absolutely hope. Never give up hope. God can do anything. He can perform miracles. In fact, He has restored. There's a verse in, you're going to have to help me with the book, but where it says that God has restored the years that the locusts have eaten. And that's what God has done in my relationship with Maggie. And I'm so, so thankful for that. We have such sweet conversations now, and there was a time when she was a teenager. Sorry, Maggie. And it was really, really difficult. And it was difficult for both of us. I think we were both sinning against one another. And it took time. It took time to heal that. So it was this idea of grace. So we needed to learn to have grace toward one another. We needed to learn how to forgive one another. And that's okay. Like, things aren't always going to be perfect. But God can restore that. And God can give you hope. And to just realize that in the season that you're in, if you're experiencing difficulty with your children, that the story isn't over yet. You know, God can do anything, and He can restore relationships, but He can also help you through them. So with this idea of like taking a deep breath and just realizing that it's not over, that His grace is sufficient for you because His power is made perfect in weakness. That's such an important verse to cling on to, especially when you're struggling with either your children or spouse or other relationships. And just to be patient. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes we may not see what's happening in that other person's heart, but God's changing them as well. But we can only change ourselves. And it's important to give yourself that kind of grace that you need to be able to breathe, to be able to take a time out if you need a time out, but that's okay. And you're okay, and your kids are going to be okay, and your relationship's going to be okay. Just breathe and dance with praise songs in the background, maybe even with your children.
That's great. Ellen, thank you. Thank you for helping all of us, not just the moms out there, but this is great advice for all of us as we all struggle with guilt and we all struggle with broken relationships. Great advice. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Moms, I hope that was helpful for you to hear it from another mom. Another mom who doesn't pretend to be perfect. Another mom who's made her mistakes and she's brought that guilt before God. And she had that prayer of crying for mercy, and God has restored. There is hope for you. And you can be like the psalmist and just like Ellen. How kind. Get to the place to be able to say this prayer. How kind the Lord is. How good He is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I want to come back to that very first cry of mercy that God hears from you and I. It's when we have this childlike faith. It's when we would go before God and we would have that childlike faith and say, God, I am a sinner. I believe, Jesus, in who You are and that You took my sin and my shame and my guilt on the cross. That's the first cry of mercy that God wants to hear from every person so that you can enter into a relationship with Him. And that's why on your connection card, the very first next step says, I need childlike faith and trust that Jesus, and trust Jesus to take away my sin guilt. If that is where you are, would you just indicate it on your connection card and make sure your name and your phone number are on there. Drop it into the offering boxes and then let us know. And that is how you let us know. And what we will do is that we will reach out to you this week. Or again, if it's easier for you to text, just text that keyword is trust and text it to our texting phone number, 401-496-9710. And when you do that, you're going to get an instant reply. Click on the link. You have to click on that link, and that's where you give us your name. And again, we'll reach out to you this week. But we would love for you to be able and to walk you through of what that means to have that childlike faith. If you're a Christ follower in here, back in our text, look what our text says for the Christ follower. Let my soul be at rest again. Why? Because for the Christ follower, we know what it's like to have guilt separate us in our relationship with God. And what you and I need to do is to make sure we are continually taking a look on the inward soul and dealing with those whispers of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, don't do that. Don't make that decision. Don't go down that road. It's not a good road. We need to respond to that. And that's when your soul will be at rest. And that's why he says in verse 9, and so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on this earth. Did you hear that? It's not, oh, wait until I die and go to heaven and then I can be with Jesus. No, it's the here and now. It's about living out a kingdom-minded life here. that when you get in your car and commute, whether you're commuting to school, whether you're commuting to work, or you're going to the grocery store, that you are actually in the presence of God. And He wants to live in relationship with you. But what guilt does is separate. Guilt destroys. And what God wants to do is restore. That's why we've been saying a healthy, godly guilt draws us closer, not further away to God, to ourselves and to others. And the Psalmist 23 says, He restores my soul. In Psalms 51, He says, restore me to the joy of your salvation. Christ follower, is that what you need? Do you need to hear that? Do you need to be restored to the joy of your salvation? Because guilt has gotten in there. Guilt has wreaked havoc. Guilt has eaten you up from the inside out. Let's say, bring it before God and cry out for mercy. And He will restore. That's why the other next step says, pray that God will set me free from unhealthy guilt. I desire to live in the freedom like the psalmist describes. We want to pray for you. Let us know, indicated on the connection card. If you have that YouVersion app, there's a great plan on there about freedom from guilt and shame by Pete Briscoe. I'd encourage you just search for that under plans on the YouVersion app. It's a 5-day plan. That's a great one that you could do. There's other ones that you'll find on there as well. The last next step, even though we're ending this whole soul teaching series, doesn't mean that it should stop. And I'm hoping that you'll pray this for me. And I mean this. I'm not just saying it. And for everyone online, I hope you'll be praying for me in this way. That I will continue to ask the question, how is my soul? That when I go to bed at night and I'm laying there, and I'm saying, God, how is my soul? I hope that you'll get into that rhythm. So that we can be healthy from the inside. So that we can pour out and serve others, the people that we love the most, the people that we live with, and those that are in our circles of influence. Because this is the way to live. If it's easier for you to text the word pray, then would you text that word pray to our texting phone number, and we'll pray for you. But again, you have to click on that link. If you're using that texting, make sure you click on that immediate link. That's where you type in your name, and so that we'll know who we're praying for. So if you would do that, that would be great. We want to wrap up this teaching series, trusting that you're going to live in this continued rhythm of soul care, and that we would be able to live out the blessing that the scriptures teach us. So we're going to respond to this with a song called Blessing that we have sung. But will you receive that blessing? As you sing it out, will you receive it? That you will live in this way so that your kids, so that you can leave that godly legacy for your kids, and then your kids can grow up and leave it for their kids, and it was from one generation to the next generation. Will you stand and sing with us?